Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Next week, Bostonians will go to the polls to decide whether to give Boston Mayor Marty Walsh another four-year term or to replace him with Boston City Councilor Tito Jackson. A key part of Jackson's agenda is responding to the economic inequality that increasingly defines Boston. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks examines how this issue is playing out in Boston's race for mayor.
How you doing?
Tito Jackson has made the economic divide in Boston a defining theme of his campaign for mayor.
There's one of the biggest income inequality gaps in the whole country.
Jackson is right about that. Boston also has a dramatic disparity in wealth along racial lines. According to the Boston Fed, white households in the Boston area have a median net worth of about $250,000. Black households, it's $8. Campaigning in Roxbury, Jackson argues this has created two Bostons, one wealthy and predominantly white, the other poor and mostly non-white.
From where we stand here in Roxbury to Back Bay, like a mile and a half down the road, it's a 33-year difference in life expectancy. People live to 91.9 there, 58.9 right here.
Mayor Marty Walsh recognizes the challenge as well, but he argues it goes back generations, and that's true. The causes of the wealth gap are many, but they include discriminatory housing and lending policies of the past. Here's Walsh in last week's final mayoral debate.
That's failed policies by the federal government. That's failed policies by the state government. That's failed policies by the city of Boston. Since I've been mayor and before I was mayor, I've never backed away on the question of race and making sure that we work on income inequality and racism in our city of Boston.
But Jackson faults Walsh for policies that he says continue to widen economic disparity. He says under Walsh, too much luxury housing is going up at the expense of affordable housing. And he criticizes the mayor for being too cozy with corporations, giving tax incentives to GE instead of investing more in education.
You know what? We have more money than we've ever had. Checks flying out the door to General Electric, mayor who wanted to do Olympics, but won't write the check, won't show value in the young people who make up 100% of the future in the city of Boston.
Walsh rejects that and points to a number of initiatives aimed at narrowing the economic divide, including making good on a promise to increase affordable housing.
We've invested over the last 3 years $100 million into affordable housing, and we constantly, this wasn't being built before. We weren't seeing private developers building moderate, low-income housing in the past, and we're seeing in that area today, but we still have more work to do.
Walsh defends giving tax incentives to GE as a good deal for the city because of what GE will give back. But Barry Bluestone, an economist at Northeastern University, calls them unnecessary corporate giveaways.
Generally, Tito's right on this. Too often, we just throw lots of money at companies who really don't need the money.
But Bluestone gives Walsh credit for expanding affordable housing and education spending, which he says are two of the most effective ways to level the economic playing field. He also says high rates of inequality aren't necessarily evidence of a city on the wrong track. Thanks to relatively generous state and city rental subsidies and that growing supply of low-income housing, Bluestone says Boston does a better job than most cities accommodating its poorest residents.
But statistically, if you have the very rich and the very poor, you're going to come out with a statistic that says inequality is out of control. But it has something to do with what we've done right in Boston rather than something we've done wrong.
In the Haley House Bakery Cafe in Roxbury, opinion is divided as to which candidate would do a better job at closing Boston's economic divide. Debbie Denton of Roxbury says she supports Marty Walsh because she believes he's built on the progress of former Mayor Tom Menino.
I saw like a drug-infested street get cleaned up totally. More police presence. I mean, businesses are coming back to the neighborhood, property values going up.
Allowing a lot of these developments, people know, squeezes people of color more than anyone else. To be honest, I never voted for Walsh in the first place.
Kalamu Kieda is a community organizer and artist from Dorchester who blames Walsh for runaway development, which he says makes the divide worse.
I met a woman just recently who's lived in the same house in Upham's Corner for 37 years, renting. She has four kids living with her. She's going to be gone in the next 5 years. That's the kind of thing that I don't feel like Marty Walsh pays any attention to whatsoever.
This debate about inequality and the tension between neighborhood stability and development has been around Boston for a long time.
Same issues that Mel King and I talked about when we ran for mayor in 1983.
This is former Mayor Ray Flynn, who won that election the last time a white Irish guy ran against an African American. Flynn says over the last 20 years, Boston has embraced too much luxury and high-rise development to the detriment of working-class neighborhoods like his own South Boston.
So everything is like $1.3 million condos. You know, if you just open up the door for all kinds of developments, you know, you're not going to get the balance. That's the key word. You're not going to get the balance that the city needs.
Flynn says he believes Walsh is at least trying to bring that balance back, which would help narrow the economic divide. But Tito Jackson argues there's a lot of evidence to suggest he hasn't been successful. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.